Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 19. What incredible services we've had the last couple of weeks in revival. The Lord has blessed us so tremendously. We give the Lord praise. We ended up with 13 receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost and 12 being baptized in Jesus' name. Wonderful God that we serve. And we want to just remember Brother and Sister Campitella, keep them in prayer as they continue their evangelistic travels, and that God gives them revival everywheres that they go. Well, the month of August, that's where this is August, right? September's coming up. The month of August, we have been studying and talking about the power of choice or power in choice. We took a little bit of break for revival concerning that, but I want to wrap up tonight on this subject. And then next month, we have sought the Lord and feel He has laid this heavily upon our heart. Next month, we are going to have a month of teaching about the power or the strength that we receive from the joy of the Lord. I think with all of our commitment keeping, all of our striving to live right, live righteously and justly before the Lord, that we need to remember our strength and our walk with God comes from the joy of the Lord. The Bible tells us that we receive our strength from the joy of the Lord. And if anyone should have the joy of the Lord, it should be those who are filled with His Spirit and baptized in His name. Praise God. And even though we're not teaching on it tonight, but if anything can take your joy, then it can take your strength. So don't you think for a minute that the devil isn't doing his best to find out how to take your joy. And if your joy is tied to anything but him, you better look out. Our joy can't be tied to the things of this world, because Satan, he can steal that. But if my joy is connected and flows only from the Lord Jesus Christ, then Satan can never, ever take that joy. As Brother Luma was talking about, the Lord gave him a taste of no emotion. Where you at, Brother Luma? You got to fix that prayer a little bit. Emotions are important. That's why the Lord gave them to them. I know you know that. I'm just picking at him. And the joy of the Lord and having that joy in our heart is where our strength comes from. And we want to have that. I've had experiences, Brother Luma was talking about, and so have you. When you go to a season, there's just nothing there. Can't touch him, can't feel him. You're like, Lord, what's going on? What's wrong? It's just a season. He's teaching you how to walk by faith, as Brother Luma explained to us a moment ago. Remove the emotions. You just got to walk on the word and believe the commandments. But what a relief when the joy comes back. What a relief when the emotions come back. All right. We're going to wrap up tonight, by the help of the Lord, on power in choice. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live. That both you and your seed may live. One of the first things we learned about choice is that it does not just affect us, but it affects everyone around us. So while the Bible says the big old birch tree in the woods never falls by itself, when it goes down, it takes other smaller trees down with it. Don't ever think you're an island. Don't ever feel your choices don't affect others. Never let the devil convince you that you're alone. You're never alone. God's with you and there are people watching you. Our choices are very, very important. So let's put our Bibles down. We're going to ask the Lord for the next few minutes to touch our hearts and our minds and to bring clarity and understanding to each and every one of us about the power of choice that is in our lives. Father, I thank you for this incredible opportunity to stand in your presence, to feel your power, to know that you are in this service, to feel your power through your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up the word of God to us today. Let us hear what the Spirit has to say. Give us the revelation that when we walk out of this building here tonight, that with our choices, we can change the world. With our choices, we can change our own life and the circumstances surrounding our life. And that there is power in our choices. Hallelujah. Strengthen us tonight, Lord. Give us the revelation that the devil does not have power or control over our lives. We choose our destiny by our choices we make. Help us, Father, to make godly choices. Speak to us, direct us in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I have made some bad choices, but with the help of the Lord, I'm going to make some good choices. And my good choices are going to outweigh my bad choices. Come on, somebody, put your hands together for the Lord. I believe it in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise God. Bless you. You can be seated. I think that that is one of the most powerful things about choices, is that when revelation does come to us and we realize that we have made a bad choice, a wrong choice, we can also, with that same revelation, begin to make right choices. It doesn't mean that we're not going to reap what we sow, that we are not going to feel the repercussion of choices that we have made that were not right. And the devil would like to convince you and I that that is where we have to stay, that that is the destiny of our life. But I'm here to tell you in the Holy Ghost that I made a lot of bad choices before I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the choices that I had made were putting me in a path of death. But a day came when I made a good choice, and I accepted the Lord Jesus into my heart, and I began to walk down a different path, a path from the Word of God. And that choice
has been defeating and undoing and destroying every bad choice I have ever made in my life. Until the day is going to come when the trumpet's going to sound. Oh, hallelujah. And the choice I made 37 years ago, it's going to lift this old body up out of this world. Woo! So I want to let you know that don't you let that devil tell you you have to stay in your bad choices. I'm here to tell you, you can start making some godly choices, and those godly choices will turn things around in your life. Things will get better. Things will get better. Oh, I wish everybody in the building believed that. Hallelujah. I'm just going to go through this quickly, but we learned a few things over the last few services. We learned that there is a residual and a very far and wide-reaching effect of our choices. We learned that God has provided everything we will ever need to enable us to make the right choices. That even though making this choice over here, which would be the wrong choice, looks better, feels better, tastes better, works better, everything in my life seems like it would go better if this is the choice I would make. We've learned in the Word that if we'll make the right choice, even though it may not look so great at the moment, but we've learned once you make that choice and it's the right choice, God will anoint that choice and it will outgrow and outshine and outperform anything the devil could ever offer to you. Because the things of this world are but for a season, but God's choices are eternal. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody be like Moses and choose to suffer the afflictions of the children of God
rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin, which are but for a season. We learn that esteeming the reproach of Christ is greater than anything that this world can give us. And that, yes, many of our choices are going to bring pain and difficulty. You may even drop in status a little bit. You may even drop in salary a little bit. But I'm here to tell you, God will take that smaller salary and do more for you than that larger salary would have ever done in the world. Oh, you need to hear the preacher tonight. Making the right choice will never fail you, never let you down. Every one of us in this room knows we're in the messes we're in because we made bad choices. Things happen because of choices. We know that there are also people that suffer because of our choices. And I want to tell you tonight that if you're suffering because of somebody else's choice, you just make the right choice and see what God will do in your life. See how God will fix what's wrong in your life. See how God will give you more. Oh, somebody hear me tonight. God will give you more if you'll just make the right choice. God will outdo good. He'll outdo the pain that came into your life. If you'll just make the right choice, God will give you things you could have never gotten otherwise. We talked a few minutes about choosing David two or three Sundays ago. Making the choice the right choice. Trusting God when life doesn't seem to give you the right choice at the moment. When everything that you see doesn't seem to be working. Learn to trust God
and stand up and say, well, if it's not here, it must be somewhere else, because God promised he'll take care of me. Learn to be a Samuel. If your son's not here, if the one I'm looking for is not amongst the seven, then Jesse, you must have another one somewheres, because God said the anointed one was in the house of Jesse. So when everything is thrown against you and everything's gone crazy and it looks like you're just losing everything and nothing's holding itself together, don't let the devil convince you the thing to do is get out of the church. How in the world is that ever the right answer? It blows my mind. People come into the house of God and God does things and then things start going bad for them. Why do you think getting out of church is going to make anything better? Oh, there might be a little relief for a little while. It'd be like a soldier stepping off the battlefield and taking off his armor and stretching and saying, oh my, this feels so good. Yeah, for a moment, till the battle reaches back up to where you are and now you don't have any armor on and you're not where you need to be in God, and the next thing you know, you're going to be completely destroyed. Honey, I'm here to tell you the thing to do is stay in the church. No matter how bad it gets, stay in the house of God. At least here you've got promises. And no matter how low it seems your godly choices are going to bring you, you go as low as it takes. Because when that little Rudy, red-headed, fair-looking little boy shows up and you think, how is this possibly going to be the answer to prayer? When God anoints it, it will become a mighty man of valor and a mighty power of strength. We learn that God doesn't anoint the choice until after we make it. Lord, don't bring it before you and make it look all big, beautiful, and glorious. Oh, I'll take this one. Oh, no. It's just not the way it works. It's by faith. God says, you're going to make this choice because it's the right choice. I don't care what it costs you. Doesn't matter to God what you have to give up or what you have to go through or what you lose. It's the right choice. But after you make the right choice, God will anoint it and it will begin to bear fruit in your life, and it will do more for you in the days to come than any grand choice of the world or the devil could ever offer you. Put your hands together to the glory of the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. God's choice is very seldom appealing to the flesh. Just read the book. Sometimes I read that and I go, really, God? I really got to do that? Because that don't feel good. I really don't want to do that. God's choice is hardly ever. I say hardly ever because there are a few times God's choice actually felt pretty good, right up at the front. But that's because I had already made some other difficult choices that allowed that. Look at your neighbor and say, stay with your choice. Tell them, say, make the right choice and stay with it. Because it's way too often that we make the right choice, we start down the right path, and things get tough. But Brother Luma, the preacher told me if I'll make the right choice, everything will be all right. And I made the right choice now. I lost my job. I made the right choice, and now my family members are mad at me. They think I'm crazy. They think I'm stupid, and I made the right choice and everything seems like it's falling apart. When you make the right choice, stay with it. It is way too often that we get right up
to the miracle, right to the point where the choice is going to come through for us, and we throw in the towel and we give up and we run the other way. Listen, everybody knows it's the darkest before the dawn of the day. Everybody here know the devil fights the hardest right before the moment of the breakthrough. When you make that choice that is right, stay with it to the end. I mean, what did Paul, even if the right choice kills you, what did Paul the apostle say? To live's okay, but to die is gain. I still made the right choice. So we make the choice and we stay with it. Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 3. We're going to read a little scripture here. And the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, had come in and taken over Jehoiakim. And he brought the Jews in. They're in captivity. King spoke to Asenaz, the master of the eunuchs, and that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and in cunning knowledge and understanding of science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue and of the Chaldeans. So understand that the ones that were chosen here were the elite of the Jewish people. They didn't just go out and randomly choose someone. They looked for the educated, the learned, sophisticated, those that could have the ability to stand in a king's palace and present themselves in a noble way. And so amongst these, and so when these rules and regulations all of the different requirements that had to be passed and everything was put out there, and we know what the word of the Lord says, Daniel was chosen, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, well, that's their second names. I have no clue what the first names is, but I should know them. And so they were chosen, and they were brought in before the king. This was a great honor. This wasn't just something nonchalantly done. And these men knew that a great honor had been bestowed upon them for whatever talent or ability that they may have had. Verse number 5 says, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat. So not only were they chosen to come into the palace, but the king wanted to take care of them with the best that he had. He didn't give them any meat. This is the king's meat. That doesn't mean just the meat that happened to be in the palace. No, the servants of the palace ate a certain level of meat and others and things, etc. The king's meat was a very special chosen grade of meat and fruits, and everything was inspected. Everything was perfect. It was made sure it wasn't spoiled. It was cooked right. And these men that were chosen, they were given the daily provision of the king's meat. And not only of his meat, but they drank of his wine, so that nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof that they might stand before the king. So they were going to take all of these men in, and then they were going to nourish them and feed them and take care of them. But Daniel and these other, the other three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, being Jewish, there were certain things that they knew according to the law that they could not partake of, that it would be ungodly. They didn't know whether it was sacrificed to idols or false gods or whatever the case may be. And they knew that they could not partake of that. And so one of the things that I love about this story is that even though they were taken out of their homeland, brought into a strange land, exalted to the palace, they refused to let up on the standards that they knew their God required of them. I guess what I'm trying to say is that our standards don't change with our job position.
Oh, hear the preacher tonight. When you made a choice to live for God, when you made a choice to live righteous, when you made a choice to live holy, it doesn't matter how high man brings you up. You don't change your standards to please men that are around you. You hold to the choice. You stay the course.
Oh, I met him. I'm going to meddle here for a minute. Just a moment. I got something I got to say, so I won't stay here long. But I met them. Everything was fine. They lived right. They dressed right. They talked right. They ate right. They did everything right till they got that promotion. Now, all of a sudden, they're in the boss's office. It's where the higher line of clientele comes. And the boss says, honey, listen, if you're going to work on this level of plateau, you're going to have to dress yourself up, baby. You're going to have to shorten your skirt a little bit. You're going to have to dress your face up a little bit. You're going to have to fix things up, and or you're not going to be able to stay up here. And I'm sorry to say, but there's too many that give into that. But I want to tell you, according to the word of God, if you keep the right spirit and take a stand and let them know why you live the way you live, if they let you go, they don't deserve you. But I'm here to tell you, God will stand up for you. And His Holy Ghost will shine through you and make you more beautiful than anything the world could ever do. Oh, I could stay there a while, but I'm just going to go on with myself. But our choices don't change just because our position changed, our status changed. Todd, don't you get all caught up in money and get all rich and change nothing. You better stay Todd, but you better pay your tithes too. I don't care how much money you make. We don't let things like this change us. We stay solid and we stay strong. We have to remember who it was that gave us the promotion. It wasn't man. We have to remember who it is that gave us the ability to make these monies, whether it's an entrepreneur or whether it's a raise or a promotion. We have to hold to our choices, stay strong so the kingdom of God can shine. God wants His kids up there. He wants His kids involved in all these different areas, and so that His name can shine and be broadcast in every area of social status of life, but not at the compromising of your walk with Him. No, 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 1,000 times no. They purposed in their heart. They were offered the king's meat. They were offered the king's wine. Daniel 1:8, but Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested to the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Look at verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And you have to understand, this man, the eunuch, was responsible for all of these people that he had brought in. And it was his responsibility to feed them and fatten them up and give them all the king's stuff so that when they came before the king, they would look good and shine and to educate them and to present them in such ways. And Daniel had found favor in this man's eyes. So he became acquainted with this man. And Daniel understood. So the eunuch says to Daniel, he says, and the prince of the eunuch said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who has appointed you meat and your drink. And for why should he see your faces worse, liken that the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. The eunuch expresses something very powerful here. Daniel, you're putting my life on the line. If I don't present you in such a way that it's going to be pleasing to the king, it's going to be my head that's going to come off, and probably the head of my family. And so this man is making this very plain to Daniel. He's basically saying, Daniel, please, I beg you, I adjure you, do not
do this to me. Oh, what a pull on the heart. I want to tell you something, friend. The devil knows how to come in the back door. The devil knows how to get us to compromise. But I'm here to tell you right now, if we will make a choice and we will stand on that choice, no matter how bad it may look at first, God won't only bless you, but he'll bless everybody around you. God's not going to fail us, church. If we'll make the right choice, God is not going to let us down. So Daniel sort of compromised. He said, look, because he had 3 years to do this, right? That's what the Bible said. Going to feed them the king's meat, give them the king's wine for 3 years. Going to teach them and all of these things. So Daniel said, I'll tell you what. Verse number 14. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. Daniel said, just give me 10 days. You have 1,000 days to feed me the king's meat and to give me the king's wine. All I ask from you is 10 days. Give me the first 10 days. What could possibly matter on the first 10 days? You let me do it my way the first 10 days. And if it fails, then we'll consent and go, or we'll just leave. And we don't know, because that part was never recorded, because God don't fail. So I'm sorry, I can't come to you with the other side of the story, because God don't fail. He said, just give me 10 days. So 10 days went by. At the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in the flesh. And I understand that. I went on a fruit and vegetable diet. I've been on it for 15 days. Blend it up. Put the nuts and stuff in there, so all the enzymes, you put it in the NutriBullet. I have gained 5 pounds. How can you gain weight on fruit and vegetables? So I Googled it and found out you can get fat on fruit. So I understand this. Daniel said, give us this and give us this and give us this. And so the king shows back up. And the king says, I mean, not the king, but the eunuch, my, y'all are fairer in your skin, looks good. You're fatter in the flesh than all the children that ate the portion of the king's meat. Verse number 20. And all the matters of the wisdom and understanding of the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times. Listen, 3 years later, Daniel stayed the course. 3 years later, Daniel stayed the path. He held to his convictions. He made a choice, and he didn't veer to the right or the left. 3 years later, he stood before the king, and the king found them 10 times better than all the musicians, all the astrologers that were in the realm. I'm here to tell you, make a choice. Stay with it. When you make a choice, stay with it. I don't care how much the world begs you. I don't care how much your family begs you. I don't care how much anyone begs you. Don't give in. Don't give up. It's the only way they'll be saved. It's the only way they'll be brought in. If you compromise, they'll never be saved. But if you'll stay the course, if you'll hold to the choice, little by little, you'll see them turn, start coming to God, living for God, because you stayed with it. You held in. You held in. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, your choice is going to be tested. We know the story. The king erects this statue, tells everybody to bow down to it at the sound of the music.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refuse. Some of the men see them not bow, and they bring them before the king. Verse 15, he gives them a second chance. Satan will always give you a second chance to change your mind. When you make your choice, it ain't over. It's just begun. And I want to tell you, there's a difference between a preference and a conviction. And you need to make up your mind whether you're convicted over something or whether it's just a preference in your life. Preferences can be changed and swayed with pressure and time, but convictions will never change, even if it means your death. You need to make sure that everybody else knows the difference. In other words, I do this, it's not necessarily conviction, but I think it's just the better way to go. It's called a preference. I would rather do it this way. That can change in time, and it does not affect your walk with God. But they need to know what your convictions are. Once they learn your convictions, Satan's going to use them to try to change your convictions. But when you stand on your choice in God, the very thing that Satan used to try to change you will change them. I want to thank everybody for praying for my brother James. The doctor came out, it was open heart surgery. The doctor came out and said that everything that could go right went right. He said it was a surgeon's dream. Perfect surgery. 4 hours later, 4 hours after open heart surgery, he was sitting up in bed talking to us. It was amazing. It was amazing. My brother leans in the direction of being an atheist. My brothers were very religious growing up. But they had a difficult time watching my father beat my mother. And they had a tough time watching my mother suffer from rheumatoid arthritis all of her life, go blind and all these things, and think that there could possibly be a God. And so it's my oldest brother, Eddie. He is very religious. And I'm working on him. And then Harmon and James are basically atheist agnostic. Well, we were in the room before the surgery. And I said, James, will you let me pray for you? Now, I've asked that 100 times before. And James always said, well, why don't you just pray for me, you know, somewhere else. But I asked him and he said, sure, Dan, you can pray for me. So he bowed his head. I put my hands on his head and I felt the power of God walk into that room. And I asked the Lord to reveal himself to him. And so we went through the surgery, came out, and the doctors came out. And I got a videotape of the doctor talking about how everything just went so perfect. Audio tape. And so we were in the room talking a little bit. And James, my atheist brother, said, well, must have been my little brother's prayers. Not sure if he was mocking, don't care. This I know, something happened for him to think. Something happened. The reason why I told you that story is because I have another story. James and Harmon told me before I left to go to college years ago, 1980. Wow, how many years ago was that? 33 years ago, I left to go to college. Electrical engineering. Up at Louisiana University, Louisiana Tech University, in Ruston, Louisiana. So Harmon took me for a ride. I had the Holy Ghost for 1 year. He took me for a ride in the truck, talked about different things. And he said, Dan, there's something I want you to prepare yourself for. I said, what's that, Harmon? He said, before you graduate, you will be an atheist. They will open your mind and you will understand that there is no God and that we are just animals that come and go and die, live and die. Dropped me off. I went to college. I graduated. The first thing I did when I got out of college was find my brother because I wanted him to know I had made a choice 5 years earlier and I was still holding to that choice.
that Jesus is Lord. So this is what I'm telling you. 33 years later, I'm still holding to that choice that Jesus is Lord. And because I'm holding to that choice, I know the day's going to come that Eddie's going to talk in tongues. Harmon's going to talk in tongues. James is going to talk in tongues. I'm going to baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. Why do I know that? Because when you make a choice and you hold to that choice, God's going to come through for you. God's going to show up. But our choices are going to be tested. They chose not to bow. They will only worship the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Thou shalt worship him, and him only shalt thou serve. They made that choice growing up as a child. When they became a man, they made that choice. They weren't going to waver from it either way. There were other Jews there. It appears that they bowed, that they buckled and kneeled and bowed to the other choice, but not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king became infuriated. He said, I'll give you a second chance. When all of the music sounds, I want you to bow. Verse 16, I like what they said. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Nebuchadnezzar, we don't have to think about it. We don't have to pray about it. We don't have to fast about it. We don't have to give it any consideration. We're telling you right now, we're not going to bow. We serve God and God alone. We're not going to give in. Whether our God delivers us or not. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste, and he spoke, and he said to the counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the middle of the fire? They answered and said, king, that is so true. He answered and said, then why do I see four men loose walking in the middle of the fire? I'll tell you why, king, because three men made a choice, and they would not yield, and they would not give, and they stayed the course, even though it meant going into the fiery furnace. But friend, if you'll hold to the choice, if you'll stay the course, God will show up in the middle of your furnace, and God will bring deliverance. You know, they said, O king, God's able to deliver us, and he will. However, if he doesn't, that's just the way it is. We're still not changing. So, I don't know about you, but if I would have been Abednego, and them fiery furnace doors opened up, and them guards got my shoulders, I'd be saying, now be a nice time, Lord, for you to show up. And every step I got, I'd be, now be a good time to bear your arm of salvation, Lord. And the next step, I'd be saying, Lord, I put it to the desk, Jesus. What's going on up in here? I can feel the heat of those flames. It'd be a good time to come through with that rent money right now. It'd be a good time to come through with that grocery right now. It'd be a good time to come through with that healing right now. But while they were being thrown in, I could see them look at one another and say, well, looks like he chose not to deliver. But that's all right. We're going to hold to the choice. You didn't hear them as they were going in saying, okay, 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 we know all the way in. What a surprise when they fell on their hands and knees and the ropes were incinerated and they got up on their feet. What is going on? Why? Well, they threw all three of us in, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, I don't remember them throwing you in.
in. Who are you? One like us, the Son of God. I'm here to tell you, church, let's make the choice. Let's make the right choice. Let's stay with it. Revival is here. Deliverance is coming. God's on our side.
Let's stand to our feet. My, 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 my. Clap your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's make our way down to the altar. We'll just be here for a few more minutes. Hallelujah. Listen, every one of us in this building tonight, every one of us from the pulpit to the further seat in the back, know that we have made choices that we've compromised on. Hallelujah. But we're here tonight because we love him. And we know that he's never failed us. And he's never let us down. But we've made some other choices that we've held tight to. And some of you have made some choices. And you're being tested on your choice right now. You're being tested on your job. Because if you just yield a little bit. If you would just, you know, join in a little bit with the filthy jokes that the boss tells. If you would just kind of rub shoulders a little more. If you just go out every once in a while with the boys and have a drink. If you just hang around with the gossip of the girls at the lunch table. If you would just yield in these areas, you would probably be promoted or be liked better, whatever the case may be. Your commitment to the Lord is being tested. And God has come to say tonight, stay the course. Hang on to the choice. The ones that are trying to pull you over, if you'll stay tight, you'll start pulling them over one by one. You'll start bringing them in one by one. And listen, I'm not telling you things aren't going to get hot. You might even be thrown right in the middle of that fiery furnace, but not even the smoke is going to be on your garments. Do you know the only thing that burned in that fiery furnace is what other men put on them? The foreign things. Their clothes didn't burn. It was theirs. You stay the course, and God will keep everything that's yours. Listen to me. But he will let everything burn that's not. And here's why some of us get discouraged. Some things that we think are ours, they're really not. They're stuff the devil put on us. They're weights the world put on us. And sometimes the Lord lets us go into the fiery furnace of trial of life to burn all the things off of us that was never given to us by God, that never really belonged to us, but things of the world, things from the outside, things that held us bound, things that bind us mentally or physically. These things, it's in the middle of our trials that God is going to burn them off. We love to quote this verse. We love to say that when things get too tough for us, some Bible quote will tell me where I'm going with this. He won't put more on you than you can bear. Where's that verse? Yeah. He said, watch. He won't. What?
But that God is faithful. He won't allow more than us. No temptation has overtaken us than that which is known to man. But that God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be tempted,
yes,
beyond that which we're able to bear. But with temptation, prepare a way for an escape. Prepare a way for an escape.
I think you misquoted that. What's its reference? Find it. Because I want to show you something.
He quoted it the way we live it. I want to show you how the Bible says it. Do you know where it's at? Someone know where that's at? Make a way of escape. Oh, here it is. He won't put more than we can bear, but he'll make a way of escape. But then it ends by saying that we may be able to bear it. Do you hear any deliverance there at all? He's not delivering you. He's enabling you. That when the temptation gets too great on you, he'll make a way. I wish we had that verse. I wish there was one person in this church that knew the Bible. Including the preacher. And I've preached that message 100 times. Can you run a search? Do a search on able to bear. What? 1 Corinthians 10:13. How long have you had that? Oh, okay. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Too late, son. Watch, here we go. You ready? There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. But with, everybody say with the temptation. He didn't deliver you from it, folks. Okay? Stay in the book and you won't get discouraged. But with the temptation also make a way of escape. What is the way of escape? That you may be able to bear it. Your escape is that he will give you the strength to bear it. He didn't deliver them from the fiery furnace, but he enabled them to bear it. Why? Because God got more glory out of walking them out of a fiery furnace than he'd have ever got by killing the king or doing a couple of other things. My God, have mercy. But with the temptation, God is going to bring glory to his name because he's going to enable you to bear it, and you're going to come out of that thing, and the glory of God is going to shine, and everybody's going to know you held the course, and the name of Jesus is going to be exalted, and souls are going to be saved, and lives are going to be changed. My Lord, one more time, clap your hands to the Lord. He's worthy. Somebody shout, stay with the choice. Be sure we get your neighbor's hand. Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we stand before you as a church. Lord, we have made choices. We have refused to compromise. And God, it's cost us many things along the way. And Lord, maybe we should be running thousands now. But God, we refuse to compromise. We refuse to yield. We refuse to give in. Lord, because we know your word is true. And we will hold the course. And because of that, God, when everything else falls apart, when all these other things yield and give and are unable to deliver and help, we know that the church will stand and the church will shine. And in that moment, oh God, you will be lifted up and all men will be drawn unto you. So God, we stay the course. We make the choice and we stay with the choice. We will live holy because you are holy. We will live godly because you are godly. We, oh Lord, will walk the path of your word because it is the only path of truth. Let us be like the disciples. Jesus, where would we go? You are the only one with the words of truth. We make a choice tonight. We are going to be that church that bears the name of Jesus. We're going to be that church that stands
sins and the adversity of ungodliness, a world, an untoward generation, a world of immorality. We will be a church that will make choices, godly, biblical choices, and we will not yield, and we will not give, and we will bring glory to the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that, give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Praise God. We're all here tonight having made choices. Listen, I've talked to some of you, and there are ways around your circumstances that will benefit you. But to do it, you got to go against God's principles. And I've talked with you. We've discussed it. And your decisions were difficult and tough. And it would make your life so much easier. So we think. But you held to the choice that was right. And even right now, some of you have not reaped the benefit of that choice. But I'm here to tell you, the day will soon come when you will look back and the path will be so plain. And you'll see them both, the path of what would have happened if you would have went that way and the path that has happened because you chose to stay with the right choice. God's not going to let you down. He's not going to fail you. You're going to make it. You're going to get through. And when God's done with this thing, it's going to be greater than anything that you could have ever imagined by simply making the right choices. I told a gentleman earlier today, we had a subject going, and I told him that there was quite a few years ago, we were still back on Forest Hill. There was a man that came into my office and he sat down. He was homosexual. And I want to say something to this church right now. There is not an apostolic in the world that hates a homosexual. And the reason because of that is because God loves homosexuals. And so when we preach against sin, we're not preaching against the person. We were all sinners. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. He came in my office and he sat down and he told me, he said, I'm homosexual. I've been to your church a few times. My mother's an apostolic preacher. I want to be a part of the apostolic church, but I don't think there's anything wrong with the homosexual lifestyle as long as the men are married or the women are married. So I'm just listening. And he said, I guarantee you that within a month, I can have millions of dollars in your bank account if you will just promise me that you'll never preach against homosexuality. He said, millions of dollars. I have multimillionaire friends that are waiting to come, and they like the apostolic worship. I said, sir, I'll tell you this. I will never purposely offend or hurt your friends, but I will never compromise the word of God. So I said to him, if the word hurts them, then there's nothing I can do about it. So he got up, he was angry, he threw the chair. He said, then we'll boycott you. I'll have signs out here next week and we're going to fill the streets. I said, bring them on. You'll double my church. That's all you'll do. Thank you for the advertisement. What I'm saying is there are things that are coming. Listen, one of the most prominent preachers in the world, might as well use his name because he said it, not me, Joel Osteen, made the comment just recently
that homosexuals can remain in their lifestyle and go to heaven. The largest church in the country, one of the most prominent preachers in the world. And that's the direction the religious world is going. Do you understand that? Why? Because they started compromising 100 years ago on little things. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. The reason why you and I are so odd and weird is because we just simply chose not to move. We made choices that were biblical and we're going to stand on them and they are right. And that's where we're going to be. So you may have to visit your pastor in prison. I'm not sure. I hope you'll come. You might have to visit you in prison. I'm not sure. It could happen because they're trying to turn it into hate speech. It's not hate speech. We love the alcoholic. We love the homosexual. We love the lesbian. We love the child molester. We love the infidel. We love the what do they call them? I don't know. The bestiality people. We love them all. They're bound in sin. They need deliverance. Listen, we have former homosexuals and lesbians in this church that talk in tongues or baptized in Jesus' name or are now married to the opposite sex and have been delivered and have the revelation. We have alcoholics that have been delivered, nicotine addicts that have been delivered. We have every kind of sin you can think of. God loves them all, and he died for everyone, and we will always preach it, but you will hear what is right, and you will hear what is wrong. It will be preached. It will be taught in love, but it will be done. We made a choice, and we're going to stay with it, and I believe because of that, the day is soon to come that people are going to wake up, and they're going to realize that these weak, noodled back churches and religions of the world can't deliver anything. And when they want deliverance from their demons, they're going to find a church that has power inside of it that can cast out devils. And if we're going to be one of those churches, then we have to stay with our choices. Not because we're stubborn, because we know they're right. And because they're biblical. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, stay with your choice. God bless you. I love you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Let's tear down this platform.